So that book that I just read is written by Barbara Brown Taylor. She is a beloved pastor, preacher, and professor, and this is her first foray into children's books. She takes what little we know from Scripture, just those 12 verses that don't actually tell us much about magi following a star and bearing gifts, and with some knowledge about the historical context and a good bit of imagination, she tells a fuller story about following the star and returning home. We don't know if there were three wise ones, only that there were three gifts named. We know a little bit about what magi are. That was a term used for interpreters of dreams, astrologers, fortune tellers, or really just anyone who seemed to possess some kind of secret knowledge. We do know a good bit about Herod because of historical references and other appearances in Scripture, but Taylor fleshes out his character in much more detail, connecting some of the dots from implied information about his motives in this story. And what comes from her imaginative retelling of this Epiphany story is something more than nostalgia. In her story, we can see ourselves. In Matthew, when they speak with Herod, the wise ones say, "We've seen the star in the east, and we've come to honor him." The Magi show candor and openness and perhaps even naivete in not anticipating difficulty in inquiring of Herod, the king, about the birth of a rival king. And all through the story, the Magi are guided by God, first by the star in the sky, and then adding the text from Micah that the chief priests referenced, and then in a dream telling them to go home another way. While the wise ones are the strange outsiders in this whole story, they do not merely stumble onto the Messiah as if by accident. They search with purpose, and they are directed at each step by the divine hand. Now, there are some funny memes that you might have seen about what kinds of gifts the wise men should have brought to the baby, or the wise women who show up the next day with different gifts. Diapers or a casserole. Goat's milk, a warm blanket, or something to hang over the crib would have been more practical than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As Taylor says, when they finally meet the newborn king, they did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got on their knees and bowed their heads. Mary and Joseph were gracious with the strangers, expressing gratitude for their gifts, and then Brown describes what might have happened next if this is anything like most visits to meet a new baby these days. To the wise men's complete surprise, the child's mother picked him up and handed him around so that each of them held that damp, soft, living weight in his arms. When these magi, these strangers, saw this baby and felt his weight in their arms, they were transformed. As the prophet Isaiah spoke of the light, a gift from God, having the power to transform, we see in this story of the wise ones, the baby, the light, a gift from God, having the power to transform them. In the children's book, the wise men woke up the next morning and couldn't find their stars anywhere, not in the sky, not in each other's eyes, or anywhere else that they looked, but in the process, they discovered that they had found what they were looking for, something they could not lose. The first wise man, who was the one who had lived on nothing but dried herbs boiled in water, he found in the scent and weight and skin of the baby that he didn't need to live on herbs anymore. And the second wise man was the one who had spent a fortune learning to read and write in the ancient language. But he found there home and love, so much so that he could not remember how to speak those things in the ancient language. The third wise man was one who had learned to walk on hot coals, but he found in this really great story that telling that story might do more for him than walking on hot coals. So the wise men thanked the baby for these gifts he had given each of them. And it's strange, really, that, like the baby's mother questioned why they would thank the baby. They were the ones who brought gifts. They did not receive any gifts, but they had indeed. Jesus, the baby, is the chief protagonist in this story, yet he does nothing. But still, he does do something. He gives them gifts. He transforms the wise men, each in his own way. And we've experienced that too, haven't we? When we've gone to visit someone thinking you can help cheer them up, and you find that you have been cheered and comforted in the process. When you've tried to help someone do something and you find that you received help you didn't know you needed. When you've set out to teach a lesson and find that you learn so much from the ones you are teaching. In these encounters, we receive gifts unseen, gifts which we cannot lose, gifts which have the power to transform us. When the wise men in the book wake and discover that they cannot find the star that had been guiding them, they know it is time to go. And so after they thank the baby for the unseen gifts, they say goodbye and head home by another way. Matthew tells us that before they made it to the baby, Herod gave them an instruction saying, "When you've found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." But they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod. And so they returned to their homes by another way. In their encounter with the Christ child, they received their gifts and were transformed and went home another way. They went home another route, but they also went home another way, in that they were another way when they went home. When we encounter the Christ, we receive a gift and we are transformed. And then even if the roads and the places remain the same, we are changed. And so we are another way. In this Epiphany story, salvation comes through Jesus, who transforms the strangers from the east. The story continues as salvation comes to us, as we are transformed by the gift, and we become another way. Thanks be to God. Amen.